This is the Global Podcast Network, where executives and professionals connect, share, and inspire. Stay tuned for the conversations that drive success.
And welcome back, everybody. It is something that is concerning when it comes to our dogs, animals in general, but specifically dogs. Many of us deal with it, and it is aggression. When it presents, it's a little unnerving. Sometimes it's embarrassing, depending on the situation. We're going to talk about that today and what we can do to minimize that regression or aggression and even get on the road to rehab. Maybe there's something going on there with our dogs that we are unaware of. She works with treating aggressive behavior. It's one of her specialties as somebody who is very much an animal behaviorist. She is the woman behind Animal Psychology Center. Catherine Andrews is back with us today. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. I live in South Dakota and our cool weather is starting to kick in, which is always a big plus for me. I love the fall.
When you say cooler weather, what do you got today?
Well, we're still in the 80s for highs, but in the morning when you get up, it's in the 50s. So yeah, really nice.
Right there with you. Speaking of dogs, yesterday morning, got up 7:15. He's got to go out. He lets me know. And it was 48 here in New York.
Yeah. New York is starting to get into their autumn season, too.
When we talk about aggression, I guess before we go into what causes it, what you can do, how do you define aggression?
Call me when they're experiencing some behavior that is unwanted. So a lot of times unwanted behavior is a precursor to aggression. Dogs that are what I call owning their toys or their food, you know, they're not wanting another dog to come near. They're not wanting you to come near their food or their toys. And they get possessive of things. They get possessive of people, too. And they don't want you sitting too close to someone or someone approaching you and hugging you or being too close. All of those things are little red flags that say your dog is getting mentally unbalanced, because when those things are going on, your dog should still be happy, normal dog. And many times people call me when they start to see those red flags. And that's a good thing, because those behaviors are leading up to what you call aggression, which is aggression is actually dogs using their teeth to discipline you and to, basically they're using their teeth to discipline you, because that's what they do with each other.
I haven't experienced it. I'm fortunate, but my dog will, you know, when it comes to playing, he'll not get aggressive, but it's pretty much he's telling you, this is my toy. And he wants to play a little bit, but when it comes to that, he's in charge. And it's even a little show of the teeth, the side eye, you know, that kind of thing. Aggression can get scary, though, when it involves people, involves children, especially when you don't know what's going to happen, right?
Right. And I would say if you're experiencing that behavior, you need my help, because that is a precursor to behavior that's going to get worse. And I can tell you this, not many things are written in stone. That is written in stone that behavior is getting worse, because your dog is telling you, I am owning this. And it's never okay for your dog to own anything. Everything is yours. As pack leader, you have to own everything. And you should be able to, at any time, take away a toy, food, a bone, or even take away an environment. And so if you're experiencing this behavior, then your dog is getting unbalanced. And, you know, people will say to me, well, I really don't want to discipline him right now because it's not that bad. Well, let me tell you why you should discipline right now. And I'm talking to you, Steve. because this is going to lead to worse behavior. And here's a big one. Your dog is not happy when they're owning things. It is not a happy emotion when you are owning something, when you're growling, when you're showing your teeth, when you are taking something away from somebody, when you think that you're not getting enough. All of that is not a good emotion. So you're not doing your dog a favor by letting them become mentally unbalanced. Does that make sense?
Completely. It's almost
good.
Like the dog is coming from a place of lack or want and need, where they feel that they need to grab this item, but that's
exactly.
But they're not in charge, so to speak.
They're not in charge. And just like children, they may want to drive the car, but the child should not drive the car. So just because they want something doesn't mean that it is the proper or right thing. And so your dog wanting to own that bone or food or toy is not the right thing. The dog is much more happy when you are able to take things away from them and they are able to see your strong leadership. Dogs depend on their mental health and happiness, just like children. I like to draw a lot of parallels because dogs and children are very much, both of them are dependent upon us for everything, right? So we in turn have to have stricter boundaries with them than we do, for instance, our friends or our spouses or even the general public. So with our dogs, we cannot let them own things. We have to be able to take those things. And what we're expressing to them is strong leadership. The stronger the leadership, the better the leadership, the happier your pack is. So if you want happy, well-balanced dogs, you should be able to control the behavior of your pack. And I know control sometimes sounds like a negative to people. It's not, because when I say control, I mean uplift, because I'm never controlling it to the point where I'm making them unhappy or I'm making a problem. What I'm doing is I'm uplifting the energy of the pack by not letting them control things.
You said the word that I was thinking, and I feel it's so important, especially with children, boundaries. Setting the boundaries that are healthy and that your dog will be aware of. What?
Yes.
How do we? Okay. So in the example of my dog Tanner, he's never aggressive whatsoever. When he's got a ball or a toy, it appears to be play, where he's just like, it's mine. I'm going to take it. I'm going to run over here. If I try to get it, it'll be a game. Where he'll run over to the side. He won't let me, grab it. The only time I can get it is if he drops it and I swoop in, I throw it, he gets it. Is there a level of aggression there, or we're just...
Yeah, this is really good. This is really good, because when you're playing the game with him and he's playing keep away, that's totally okay. Because for him to take it and keep it away from you is totally fine. But here's the thing.
Mm-mm.
It's just like with kids. You know, you're playing a game, and then you get serious with them and you say, no, stop, end of game, everybody needs to get ready for bed, right? So it is okay for you to lower your voice and say to your dog, stop, or whatever cue. I always use stop and drop it.
Drop it. That's the one I use.
Yeah, so stop and drop it. And when I tell them to stop, and this is super important because this is animal communication at its finest. You go over there, you point at them, you make eye contact, and you say, stop. Even if I only spoke Japanese and I did that to you, you would know that you should stop what you're doing, right? Eye contact, pointing at you, stop. You
well,
know
it. It's the same thing. I had this conversation, it's funny, recently with another parent. When our parents gave us the eye,
yeah,
right away you're
yeah,
like,
there
oh,
you go.
Whoa, they're serious. We got, you know, it, and you could be at dinner at a restaurant and you're just messing around with your sibling or whatever, and you get the
eye. Oh yeah. And did you see how you moved your eyebrow? I like to say this, and I had a friend that told me once, she goes, all you do is move your right eyebrow and your dogs will stop doing whatever they're doing.
I'm not there. I think that's great.
Well, we're going to get you there. We're going to get you there, because you don't want the behavior to escalate.
This is so impactful. You know,
Good.
Even if you think it's okay, a little bit of play is one thing, but when it crosses the line to some aggression, I think many of
then
us.
Then you got to step in.
We look at them playing, or we look at them doing whatever they're doing with a toy or a ball or whatever, and the first thought is, well, I'm going to bother them. They look like they're having fun. That's their toy. So, you know, I understand why they're taking possession of it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Hearing from you, not exactly a good thing.
Right. It's okay if you're playing with them and they play keep away. That's part of the game. But when the game is over, the game's over. And who decides when the game is over? It always has to be you.
Yep.
Why? Because pack leaders who are good leaders make good decisions, and they enforce them. And when you do that, you don't say it five times. You don't say it four times. You say it one time. The most I'll say stop or drop it is twice. If I don't, then I just go and I grab the collar of the dog and I take it. Because if you say something more than twice, you're like the mom in the grocery store who's like, Tanner, get over here. Tanner, get over here. This
yep.
happened the other day. Tanner, get over here. And I'm counting like 4, 5, 6, 7. Did Tanner get over there? No, Tanner did not.
And you don't want to be that parent anyway.
No, because I'll tell you something. Was Tanner having a good time? No. Was mom having a good time? No. Was I having a good time? No. Was anybody in the grocery store having a good time? No.
Nope. Your dog is aggressive. What do you do?
You send me an email, call me, text me, and we ascertain where you are on the aggression level and what's going on. Because every dog is different, every owner is different, and then there's always the questions of what's okay with you and what's not okay with you, because every household is different. In some households, the dogs get on the couches, and some they don't. It's kind of like divorced parents, you know? Dogs are fully capable of rules. You just have to let them know what they are. And so those are things that we discuss on an individual basis, because it's different with everybody.
What are some of the reasons why dogs are aggressive?
Most of the time it's because they have a miscommunication. They don't have enough leadership. That's probably number one. There's not enough leadership in the household. And I'll tell you something that's going to sound arrogant of me, and it's not. Most people are not born leaders. It's something we have to teach. And that is something that I teach to people, is leadership. Because if we were all leaders, the species would not survive. So leadership has to be taught, because we all need to be leaders in some capacity in our life. And I'll tell you, it's a very valuable quality. And once I teach it to someone, not only does their relationship with their dog improve, but their other relationships improve too. So it's a valuable quality, but most people are not born leaders. It's a subject that has to be taught. One of my soapbox things, and don't get me started here, but is for communication, not only human communication, but animal communication to be taught in grade schools.
100%. And ever since social media and then COVID, communication is just going by the wayside. People don't communicate anymore, especially
younger
generation.
I can't even tell you. Yeah, I can't even tell you how many dogs I saw that were, we call them COVID dogs. In fact, I did a news story on it, news station Fox, because there's so many dogs who have aggression problems who grew up during COVID. And not only aggression problems, they have other social problems and behavioral problems. So yeah, COVID was great in a lot of ways. Honestly, there were some benefits of it, because a lot of people got dogs and they had the time to invest in them and to raise a puppy.
Point.
But then they were unable to socialize them. And that's where things fell through the cracks. And so we had a lot of COVID dogs that we had to, we had a fix.
I'll bet you so many people are hearing this right now and didn't expect it to be thrown back on them. That's the reason for their dog's aggression, you know?
Right. I know. It's a tough one, because a lot of people don't recognize it. And the best thing to do is just really get in communication, because sometimes the warning flag is the warning flag, and sometimes it's not. So
What about situation changes? Let's say that you moved or another child is born or something like that, and that brings on aggression. How do you deal with that?
Well, that's another situation where we need a consultation, we need an evaluation, because what I like to ask people is, how old is your dog? How long have you had your dog? Those things are integral, because sometimes they say, I just got this dog. Sometimes they say, I've had this dog for 5 years. That's going to make a difference. What happened in your household to possibly cause this? Sometimes they'll say something happened. Sometimes they say nothing happened, and we have some behavior that's unwanted. I just talked to a lady this morning whose dog is experiencing severe separation anxiety, and she said nothing has changed. But I put her in her kennel, and she broke out of her kennel, a wire kennel. She used her mouth to break out of the wire kennel and hurt her mouth, actually. And then once she got out, she destroyed the curtains in the living room, and she destroyed some carpet. Yeah, yeah. And she watched it on the doggy cam, and she said it was really hard to watch. And then the veterinarian, this is another good point. The veterinarian put her on a drug called Reconcile. And here's the thing, I know veterinarians are probably trying to help, but I've never had really great results from any of the drugs that they put dogs on. And if we do get a result, like from Prozac or Reconcile, it's temporary. And then once we wean them off of it, the behavior comes back. So here's the moral of the story. And this is probably true with humans too. If you don't get counseling, if you don't get some help, the issue that you're fighting in your life is not going to improve with taking psychotropic drugs.
Yeah.
You have to get some help. So if you're having this kind of problem, and I do consultations and work with people all over the country because of Zoom, like you and I, we do Zoom, and we get to know each other through Zoom. This is where you need a consultation, and we need to figure out where the behavior came from, why it's there, how bad is it? Because sometimes it's not even something we need to fix. It's something we need to redirect.
Ooh, and and by the way, before we go there, you mentioned about meds. In my understanding, I totally agree. Western medicine, we're treating the symptom. We're not going to the root cause. Seems the same in terms of what you're saying here, putting a dog on a med. There's a reason they're acting a certain way. The med's going to help.
They're telling you something.
Telling you something.
They're sending a message to you. I mean, that dog is 5 years old. She's never torn up anything, whether she's alone or not. Mm. And her tearing up the house like that was sending a very strong message that I'm unhappy. My brain is unbalanced. Something happened. And so we need to work on that. Mm. And she did actually take her to the vet and put her on Reconcile. This is a new drug. And it's not helping. She's been on it for 2 weeks. Because obviously the problem that she's experiencing is big, because for her to have that big a freak out and that much anxiety and that destructive, it's something that needs to be fixed in the brain. So this is a misconception that she has that we need to, it's kind of like rebooting the computer and taking the bad idea out and putting the good idea in.
So you said redirect. What is that?
Well, redirecting is just changing the environment or changing what you're doing. Sometimes people are just doing the wrong thing. And I'm trying to think and give you an example of that. Say, for instance, you have three dogs. Here's an example of a lady who has three dogs, and she was feeding them really close to each other. And they were there wasn't really an aggressive behavior. They were just eating really fast. And so she called me and I said, well, is there any growling? Is there any, I'm trying to figure out if there's aggression. She goes, no, they're just eating really fast. I said, okay, we just need to redirect this. So you just need to feed these guys in different rooms so they can eat peacefully, because what's happening is the one who's eating fast is causing the other two to eat fast. So we got to just separate them. And that helped. So I didn't need to do a consultation. I didn't need to waste her money. I just needed to tell her, we just need to redirect the behavior. So sometimes it's not aggression. You know, sometimes it's not a red flag.
A lot of times, Catherine, that you're almost like an investigator. You have to get all the facts. You know?
I watch Dateline all the time. And it's because I think that that's what I would do if I didn't do what I do. I would be a PI or something.
Yeah, you know? Like this is like this is like doggy CSI or something. You know, where you start.
That's so funny.
You need to get the information, because if you don't have everything that's clear, you can't do your thing, right?
It's not a one size fits all. You know, I just talked to a trainer from Petco. I refer people to Petco because I don't do basic obedience classes. And Petco refers me people because they'll come in there with a dog that is trying to bite them. And we have a great relationship. So I forgot where I was going with that. I'm sorry. It's blanked out. But
so the basic stuff is not you. You're not doing, you know, basic training, things like that. Somebody's going to reach out to you when there are true behavioral issues, elevated, yeah. You know.
I know what I was going to say. I was going to say, if this is something that needs to be redirected, I'll tell you. And I'll give you free advice. If it's just a basic training thing, I'll refer you to Petco, you know. I work with people, and I'm big on, I don't take your money if you don't need my services. And if there's somebody else that does something that I don't do or does it better than me, then I'm going to refer you. And I like to work with people that are ethical. There's only like a few veterinarians in Rapid City that I work with because of that. And I think it's kind of like where you purchase your goods and services. You know, I like to go to local people to help local businesses, you know, that kind of thing. So,
and by the way, I did a couple of sessions at Petco back in the day for my dog, the basic stuff. Yeah. And it was impactful. And I probably should have continued with it and then took it to a higher level with somebody, you know, true dog training, as opposed to a class with, you know, five other dogs, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta tell you, I regret it because even the little things that my dog learned, they're impactful. You know, that it definitely, even if you can get your dog to sit, you know, if they're running around, even I didn't get this from the training, but I'll just make a noise. I go, and right away he looks like, what do you need? What's going on?
Dogs are hungry for communication. And I'll tell you something a lot. Sometimes people will bring their dog to me and they have a behavior problem and we fix it. And then I'll say, you know what? Do you want to go on with training? And they'll say, well, what choices do I have? Because they love the fact that their relationship with their dog is so much better.
Yeah.
And their dog loves it too. And I'll say, well, we could make them a service dog. And they'll go, well, I don't have a disability. And I'll say, honey, everybody these days has a disability. Who doesn't have social anxiety? Who doesn't have some PTSD? Who doesn't have, what was the other one? Like a precursor to panic attacks, which is when your blood pressure goes up when you get into a situation where there's just too many people around you and you're not in a good mood, right? So I said, if you have any of those things, having a dog with you, because a dog acts as a buffer to society, to whatever's around you. And I've started to notice that, because I didn't think I had a disability, and I do. I have social anxiety. I have PTSD because I'm truly an introvert at heart. And I noticed that even when I was training dogs, because I take dogs out in public all the time because I'm always training other people's dogs, I always had a better experience at Walmart and Sam's Club, because those are two like crazy places where there's lots of people and, you know, input. And so most people can take their dog from basic obedience to being a service dog. And then that way your dog can accompany you and be in your life and actually be a working dog and help you with your anxiety. And I'll tell you something, if you're a woman or a child these days, I really recommend having a dog with you, because if you encounter a perpetrator, that person is not going to bother you with a dog, even if it's a small dog. I watch Dateline. I know these things. And I always say when I'm watching these programs of these people that have been killed, and mostly it's women, if they had a dog with them, I wouldn't be seeing the story on Dateline.
Totally. I'm thinking maybe in the future, maybe we talk about service animals and what's involved in that training, certification, and all of that. That'd be something we could dig into. I think a lot of people wonder about that. Catherine, what's the best way to find you?
My website is animalpsychologycenter.com, and you can reach me through the website. That's the best way to go, animalpsychologycenter.com.
Beautiful. Thank you for all the insight today. Learned a lot. Learned a lot. It
Good.
really did.
Nice.
And even I don't, my dog doesn't really have aggressive behavior, but even that being the topic today, learned so much of how our animals look toward us for leadership and direction. And a lot of times we think they need it at certain times, but no, we're the pack leader or should be. We forget
Right.
that. Yeah. Appreciate it. Thanks. Thanks for being here. We'll catch up next time, okay?
All right. Take care, Steve. Bye-bye.
This is the Global Podcast Network, where executives and professionals connect, share, and inspire. Stay tuned for the conversations that drive success.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn those earrings today. I like those earrings. Gabby has those awesome earrings. I need to ask her where she got those, but that's just what she would want me to do. I'll have Michaela ask her for me.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Yeah, but then Michaela will be like, why don't you just ask her yourself? That's just like Michaela.
Sarah, buckle up.
Michaela's such a great name. I wish I was called Michaela. There's like a dozen Sarahs in my class.
Hey, we're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh yeah, seatbelt. I forget sometimes because my brain is, like, busy, you know? I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
Sometimes it can be tough to get through to your kids, but it's not impossible. Always make sure they're wearing their seatbelts, even on short drives. Remember, you have the keys, you have the power. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.